Live from Los Angeles, this is The Bachelor Masters, and if I sound a little unemotional about this whole episode, it's because I watched all 2 hours and don't really remember anything. Like, let me put this another way, EZR. Mm-hmm. We watched the whole episode about Luke, the other Luke, and yet I have no idea who that other Luke is still. I can't visualize him, you know what I mean?
Yeah, you're having trouble parsing them out still because no one has character.
Well, usually I have it like a, you have like a faint vision of what that person looks like. But I watched 2 hours of The Bachelorette last night, and I still have no idea who this other Luke is.
I've definitely felt that way in seasons past when I haven't had to critically watch. Although we're always critically watching, right? In a way, because we're of that way. But I felt that way before where I'm like, how am I at week 4? And I still have no idea who this person and this person is, but they keep talking about them. And the worst part is, why'd they get 2 Lukes in a fight? Why not get, why not use their middle names? This is the worst idea.
Yeah. Last episode, you laid out a very good case why we shouldn't like Mike. It was controversial. It seems like we've gotten some pushback on direct messages and other mediums. I think we're going to find ourselves in that problem where we're going against the grain of Bachelor Nation, EZR.
It's interesting.
Tyler C. seems to be the hunk now.
Yeah, which, what the heck?
I honestly, just like Luke S, if you told me, like, draw a picture or visualize Tyler C, I couldn't do it. Couldn't do it. Mm-hmm. Although, doesn't he have, like, a really small head? I feel like he has a small head.
But he also looks like the Connor, another love interest of hers, the one that didn't go sailing with her.
Yeah.
So, they both have floppy brown hair. And they have kind of, like I was saying, their necks go right into their head, so that makes their head look smaller. That whole date.
But he's just
a clueless dad to me.
It's not all bad, though. I used to live in New England, so this episode, when it comes to locations, was very dear to my heart. I got lots I can gush over about the calm Atlantic water, the lighthouses, the lobster boat. Yeah, it's very, very cool. And it brings back lots of very fun memories, EZR.
I guess it's one of those places that I would, if I was sitting wherever at some destination, like, I guess in this case, LA, and they said, you're going to go to Newport, Rhode Island.
Let's back up here. Okay, Rhode Island is a very interesting place. I'm going to bet that we don't have any listeners that are in Rhode Island right now. It's a very small place. But I've been there a few times. When I've been to Providence, I walked around thinking it would be like Boston, which is to say, when you're in Boston, you can't go one step to the left or one step to the right without... Like, this is where Benjamin Franklin spit, and this is where, George Washington, stubbed his toe.
Telling the truth. Yeah.
It's not like that at all.
Jen wasn't laughing at her jokes. Oh, okay.
No, when they were in Boston, everything is historical around the American Revolution. But Providence, Rhode Island, is not like that at all. And I guess it's because it was more of a religious hub. They tried to stay more neutral on the whole thing. So I was walking around Providence like, yo, where did this guy proclaim freedom? And there's just none of that. It's basically this kind of like chill little place. And so when they went to Rhode Island, I was like, oh man, I got good memories of Rhode Island just chilling. And then they went to Boston. I'm like, oh my God, I got good memories of every brick being historical. It was cool. It brought back lots of good memories.
I wonder if this lines up perfectly with Becca's Richmond, Virginia date. where everyone's like, we're going to Richmond, Virginia. Yeah.
Right.
And
right.
What? Okay.
Well, see, Rhode Island, as chill as it is, it's also implicated in the slave trade heavily. So Virginia, obviously, was the capital of the Confederacy, which fought a war to try to, you know, continue whatever, states' rights / slavery. But when it comes to the early slave trade, Rhode Island was right there. They were the ones that were processing all of the sugar and all the output of the slaves in the Caribbean. So they're not off the hook. But when it comes to history, you want to go to Boston, which is where they went. And if someone told me, hey, you're going to Rhode Island, I immediately think of Family Guy. That's it. That's the only thing that would go through my mind. But they did the typical, like, cheering and running into the hotel room. Like, oh, my God, we're in Rhode Island.
I know. Can you believe it, guys? How could this happen without a show like this? This wouldn't happen in my wildest dreams. Yes, it could.
Well, I do feel like if I were on a show like this, or if I were on any kind of competition or something, and they told me you're going to Rhode Island, I actually would be excited. Because when are you
excited to go anywhere?
When would you ever not, like, when are you going to go to Rhode Island? Like,
why would you, right?
Like, yes. Next week, let's go to Rhode Island. You want,
yeah.
So if someone were to take you to Rhode Island, I would be excited.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that's the deal. They have to act excited no matter what. But it's a little, it's just, you know.
No, I'm not saying no matter what, though. That's my point, is I would actually be excited to go to Rhode Island, because unless the show took me, when else would I ever go to Rhode Island?
Where could they tell you and you wouldn't be excited? Where could they say then?
Oh, man. That is the question of these podcast season, EZR. That, thank you so much for asking that. I don't know. I feel like I've done Texas. Like, if someone said you're going to Dallas, I'd be like, okay, all right. Like, to me, Dallas is like, okay, I got to go to Dallas. Or Houston. Houston would be the worst. I would not want to go to Houston.
Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah.
But Rhode Island.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I'd go to Rhode Island.
Oh, I mean, I would go anywhere. If they told me I would go anywhere. If they said Fresno, California, I'd be like, yeah, let's go. Must be something.
Now, hold on. Fresno is kind of the Rhode Island of California.
Oh, my God.
It is. It's nice. It's up against the mountains. People think.
I've never been to. I've driven by Fresno. I've driven through Fresno.
People think Fresno is like Bakersfield or Stockton.
I like Bakersfield. See?
But Fresno is actually this cool little, like, mountain-esque town. Yeah. Yeah, it's like Rhode Island. See, you think you know Rhode Island, but actually you don't know Rhode Island.
Okay. Well, enough location scouting. Let's talk about the dates. Really easy dates.
Well, there's nothing to talk about. Okay. So
there kind of isn't anything to talk about, but I have my...
This first guy, Jed?
Jed.
Jed. Mm-hmm. What troubles me about Jed is that there's women in this world who fall in love with people like Jed, and that troubles me.
What's wrong?
He's like a cat. A cat. Like, you go to the rescue center and you get a cat. And the cats are fun and cool, but they just kind of sit there, right?
You're not going to convince me of this argument.
I love my cat. It's like, he just kind of sits there.
You're talking about Tyler. See, look.
No, I'm confusing them all. Who are you watching right now on our Hulu playback?
Jed.
Is this Tyler? This is Jed.
That's Jed.
Yeah, this is what I'm talking about.
No,
nothing going on there.
The one who, Jed, it looks like Hannah's laying the groundwork for them to be friends in Nashville. Now, when she said that, I was like, this is she is trying to be friends with him. So it brought back an interesting question for me that I've dated people just to be friends with them because I wanted to know them. But as an adult, how can you say, let's be friends?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know how to do that with a person of the opposite sex, so since we're both heterosexual.
You're not good at putting guys in the friend zone, is what you're saying.
No, I am, but they don't. But when people don't want that, I panic, or I used to panic and be like, what do I do?
When they wanted more than being a friend, you'd panic, or they wanted to be a friend,
yeah.
You'd panic.
No. When they wanted more than
guys always want more.
Well,
you could take a guy and a girl. They've been friends for years. There's romantic comedy movies made about this, yes. And all the girl has to say is like, snap her fingers and say, okay, we're going out of the friend zone. We're going to become a, you know, physical relationship. They would immediately do what they, you know.
See, those kinds of guy-girl friendships, those aren't my kind of guy-girl friendships, because that doesn't exist for me. That okay. I do not want someone that seek. I am not the person who wants someone who secretly pines for them. In fact, that makes me very uncomfortable.
Well,
I have
sure.
To,
yeah.
I hate that. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I know some women want friendships like that because they want a million admirers around them.
Oh,
at all times.
Yeah. Oh.
And
you're throwing
like
some
that.
Shade. That's good.
Well, that's true sometimes. That's not always true. I know women who. That's not true. I don't know anyone who doesn't have a clue. I know people that pretend not to have a clue.
Yeah.
But this is just anecdotal. There is no, I'm not trying to make a big stand here against something, but I'm just saying that I feel like Hannah wants to lay down this groundwork of like, it's okay, Jed, it didn't work out. Let's keep being friends. And then that tension is over and then they can be friends later. And, you know.
Well, is he from Nashville?
I don't know, but he lives there.
So that's what you're saying makes perfect sense because, as we all know, Nashville is the epicenter of Bachelor.
What
do we say? Past stardom. I mean, they all move there and they all become friends. And what's her name? Bristow. Caitlin just got together with another past Bachelor.
Yeah, with
dude.
Jason.
One thing I did want to point out, and as we're watching our unofficial sponsor Hulu Playback here, is that Jed is really unassuming, right? He's low key and honestly doesn't really send any signals that I would receive if I were a woman. But my God, he can shoot a basket. Like, he's like some these people that have these like weird hidden talents, I don't want to take this into like the school shooting era, you know what I'm saying? I never knew he would have it in him to shoot 15 people at his school. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I never knew this guy could literally not miss a basket.
That's what people say afterwards at the interview.
Right. I never knew this guy could never miss a basket when he's shooting it. That's pretty impressive. It's like he spent his whole, you know, grade school life practicing basketball.
We got the good edits. You never know. Okay. Look.
But there are like guys that are like that. They're I'm going to be really good at shooting basketballs. Yeah,
they're just,
and that's just
all
do.
Of a sudden, you know,
their dad didn't give them enough attention when they were young. You know, it's like, daddy, come play with me. It's like, you know, I have to go to the office, and so I'm just going to shoot basketballs all day. I feel like that's what's going on here.
So
it's like growing pains when we're growing. You know, growing up, the show Growing Pains, they'd shoot baskets.
Yeah.
Watched
it on Nick at Night. I don't know.
Well, it gave us Leonardo DiCaprio. So. It must be.
Are you sure?
Yeah,
no.
He was. Yeah, that was his first gig. He played a homeless boy it's when what's his name got all Christian and wanted to make the show more wholesome. So they brought on this boy who was homeless, and then they took him in. It was like kind of like a last ditch effort to make the show relevant the last couple of years. And it was Leonardo DiCaprio. Yeah.
Oh, I don't remember seeing that in any of my VH1 documentaries.
Oh my God.
I know George Clooney was on Facts of Life.
I would assume no that origin story of Leo DiCaprio to be you, but
I know. I thought it was Gilbert Grape, but I guess it's this. Okay, look.
The Basketball Diaries.
The one interesting thing of their date, other than the crossover ice cream bit that made no sense, is that Bachelor producers are, as per usual, you know, giving us this real slice of life to hide all the other stuff they do. So it's like the, you know, it satisfies enough people to tell them that it's a little bit fake, to tell everyone that it's a little bit fake, so that way they can keep getting away with even bigger things. It's very governmental in a way, right?
I see what you're saying.
So they're saying, so Jed said on camera, I'm sure coaxed, that being on the show is a huge platform if you're a
right.
musician.
Yeah.
So if you do that, then you seem more real and wow. And now, but now he's really in it.
Okay,
and
let's
it's
back
just
up.
Such an easy. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Look.
And then they spend the rest of the episode completely manipulating us in other ways. But they'll give us this little slice of truth so that we believe everything else.
It doesn't make sense at all. I think any attempt to try to figure this guy out, Tyler C, is a waste of time.
You're my Jed.
Oh, sorry. Yeah. Any attempt to try to figure out this Jed guy doesn't make sense because he's not giving us anything.
Well, he says, I'll tell you the truth. I went on this show because it's a huge opportunity to get my music career started. But now I'm here and I like you a lot.
Right.
And so it's the Bachelor producer's way of giving us a little bit of a kernel of truth with a bunch of BS so that we keep the show, so that we think the show's staying relevant to us.
Okay.
Okay. Use that edit, not the first one.
Now, does any, let me go gender role here. As a woman, mm-hmm. do you find any part of Jed attractive?
Personally, no, but I'm not the kind of person to be on The Bachelorette. So
his head is so small.
I know. I agree.
I feel bad saying that, but it's true. I mean, usual caveat, Bachelor Masters, we try to be sensitive. He's on the show. He put himself there. That gives us the freedom to critique not only what he says, but how he looks. His head is so small.
Yeah. Come on, how many musicians can you think of that aren't great looking, but then they're babe magnets?
Because they're a musician. I love that. Yeah.
So that's.
Yeah, being on stage definitely attracts women. Obviously, the better looking you are, the better body you have, the better when you're on stage. But yeah, I mean, that's something to teach your kids, you know? Like, hey, son, you should try to find some sort of hobby that puts you up on stage because the women like that.
I don't know if it's the stage part. It might be more the talent part because talent is the one thing. I mean, maybe you're right because now thinking about nature, you know, showy offiness is kind of what gets a woman in nature, but talent does too. If you're a better nest builder, you attract more.
Yeah, but playing your guitar is not going to help you build a nest than like being a banker or something.
It's actually more of like a signifier that you can work hard at something and be good
right,
at it.
Right. You can dedicate yourself towards playing the guitar or in his case, shooting basketballs.
Yeah.
I mean, learning to shoot basketballs has got to be the worst thing, right? Because you have to be very tall to play basketball, right? So when do you start learning to shoot basketballs? When you're 11? I don't know. And so you don't know how tall you're going to end up. So you're putting in all this time learning to shoot basketballs. But really, unless your genetics tell you you're going to turn out tall, it's all a waste of time.
this is why basketball, I like baseball, and I don't mean to have anything against any other sport. I just like the camaraderie of baseball more than anything. Like, I don't really know all the stats.
Yeah. Well, you can be any size of any aptitude and you can play baseball. Yeah.
Right. And I like soccer too, because it's kind of scrappy.
Yeah.
Like, I would watch rugby if that was, you know, around.
Okay. But let's talk about
basketball.
Rugby.
Well, we will, but basketball really bugs me, because the tallest guy I've ever met, or one of the tallest guys I've ever met, one of the first things he ever said to me, who was, you know, an old friend, was something like, you know, I had a 90% chance of being a basketball player, because there's some there's some limit. If you're over that limit, you are basically in. You do not have to have athletic skill.
Yeah, you just stand there, receive the ball, and put it in the basket.
And if you're for every half inch that goes shorter than that, you have to work that much harder to be better. So a short player is actually probably a really great athlete who pushes himself to the limit.
The one guy for the Celtics, actually, he has the same name as another famous basketball. I'm blanking on his name right now. But he's very short, but he's like the point guard for the Celtics.
Right. But it's because it's so dependent on that. There's a lot of things wrong with basketball. There's a lot of, like we talked about, you know, racial issues and who the owners are and all these things. And then what the NBA used to be and what it is now. It has a very interesting story from the 70s on of how it was kind of a really lackadaisical, drug fueled thing.
Yeah.
Really weird. And
actually, the other day, the NBA announced that they're going to start phasing out the word owner. I mean, they're really sensitive to the racial aspect of the white owners owning the black players. They announced that they're going to try to come out with another name for owner, which.
So it's the same thing.
I think it's not such a bad thing. Look, in football, you have this owner of the Washington Redskins who, like, the first thing he did was, like, I'm never going to rename the team. Like, we're going to be Redskins until the end. Right. It's like, you motherfucker. Come on. Like, how hard is it to just, like, there's a zillion ways you could have done that, and you did it that way. So I give the NBA credit for at least trying to be, not on top of the issue, but at least like alongside the issue, saying owner is a complicated word here in America. Let's maybe try to come up with something else. I give them credit for that.
It's lipstick pig situation.
Sure it is. But, you know, we can't fight the fact that NFL, NBA, MLB, these are the biggest corporations in America. People buy all this shit for their favorite team, and, you know, they go to games and all this money, you know, so they're the ones that have the ability to affect change. So I feel like of all that, the NBA is in some way trying to be like alongside the issues. That's cool. That's cool to me.
Okay. Can we, if you're kind of falling into my diatribe here, so can we go into that? Or
well, how about the
rugby?
International Rugby Union?
Or you can go to rugby if you wish.
All I have to say about rugby, and I hope you'll laugh, like when I came up with this, when I was like waking up this morning, to me it was very funny. But I don't know if you'll laugh. Okay, here we go. Ready?
Okay, ready.
Friends, the TV show.
I remember I was going to tweet
yeah,
that.
Yeah, they already did that. Rugby. This is all done. We don't have anything else to say. Rugby is not complicated enough to have more than a Friends episode to say about it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Okay. Yeah, it's true. They're trying to tell us that it's a tough sport, that it's American football without.
Look, I've tried to figure out rugby. It's football, that's true, but it's also one. It's just one play. You get the ball, you run to the side, and then you either can run through or you pass it to the next guy on the side. It's very straightforward.
You know what? You just reminded me of something that. You never met my mom, Craig, but she's very, very European. In fact, when she came to America, she was shocked. You know what really shocked her was Costco. The Costco and Rhodes. That's how like a European and isolated she was. That when we were very little and we had moved here, she said, I said something like, how do you say like American football? Like, what's the sport with the oval ball? And she goes, oh, that's called rugby. And she had no idea that there was another sport because she thought rugby was very universal.
Was she from Barcelona?
She is from Basque country, which is not Basque Barcelona. That's Catalonia, which is
But so she's not Catalonian. Thing. Yeah.
No, she's Basque. But that's how, you know, like it's just, you know, culture norms and how they don't bleed over. But that reminds me that that's what I thought. That's how I understand rugby more than I do American football.
No, there's a strange myth that rugby is like dangerous. It's not. You run to the side, you tackle to the side. It's totally different than American football, where you're, you know, going up against another person straight on. I don't like playing sports where you have to also be an advocate for the sport. Rugby, water polo, synchronized swimming, the thing that you see on college campuses where they like stand on a rope, like, you know what I'm talking about? Like you're doing the sport, but you spend half your time trying to tell people about the sport. That doesn't seem very fun to me.
I see, because like curling, people always have to defend it.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. It's like, well, I curl, but I also spend most of my time trying to explain to people what curling is.
Right.
That doesn't seem right.
Well, yeah. That's just because that's your way to get, if you want to be top of your league. No, well, if you want to be top of your league and it's a sport that's not famous in America, you're probably going to have better chances of being a world-class football, you know, American. It's like that lady who went to what happened? She went to the Winter Olympics. She's actually American, but she has some Hungarian past or something like that. And she went to the Olympics under Hungary's flag to be a skier because there's not many skiers in Hungary. So she's like, I'm never going to make it on the American team. So I'll just go for the, you know, Hungarian league.
Yeah.
So it's one of these things where you're going to get a lot of, you're going to be, if it's a very non-famous sport, you can be top of the top of the league. Wait, I want to say one thing before we move on from rugby, because I think it's important. Hannah, like lots of other seasons, and even the other way around, men with women, you know, when they have them do the derby, because there was someone that had all the women do derby league, just like we saw a few episodes ago. She knew that the point was to get hurt. She knew that this was a very aggressive testosterone-fueled game.
Yeah.
And then they get hurt, and everyone
cries foul. That's a really good point. I mean, there's really no – well, actually, it was the Rose Pricks podcast. They put theirs out last night, and I was listening to it this morning. They pointed out, hey, this is a sport that can be dangerous, and you're putting all these people who have never got any training in the sport – to go, you know, duke it out. Of course an injury is going to happen. That's the expected outcome.
Yeah, but then they always, you know, it's because they have to show you the preview with an ambulance.
Yeah.
Basically.
Yeah, exactly.
And and then I thought they were going to go against a real rugby team, like you're saying, like Ross did in that episode of Friends. And
I feel like Ross's rugby outfit was way cooler than, I mean, green versus white and blue. Outfit. No, but I liked Ross's. It was like yellow.
I guess I don't remember that one.
I don't know. I feel like we could have gotten better than green versus blue and white. But look, I mean, it was inevitable someone was going to get injured. That's the only reason why you do this, like you're saying, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look, Garrett... Garrett, who I'm sure you don't remember because he looks kind of like Jed.
I know Garrett. Garrett.
Oh, you know Garrett.
Isn't Garrett with Rachel?
No, Garrett in The Bachelorette, who got the rose at this rugby date for some reason. because she didn't give it to Lucas.
Hold on. You're telling me that there's someone named Garrett on this episode? See?
I knew you wouldn't know who he was.
No idea who you're talking about.
They had a talk and they kissed and he's wearing like a red blazer and then she pulled away from him weirdly, but she gave him a rose. What I assume is kind of a throwaway rose because she's just trying to, you know, psych us out at home. Be like, who's this guy out of nowhere? He's getting the rose. That's crazy because there's no rhyme or reasons to her rose. She probably wanted to give it to Luke, the Luke we know, you know, blue Luke, the blonde Luke. And I don't know. And then she couldn't give it to him. But so I know you don't care, but can we play the Luke defending himself drop just to see what really happened? So what did you see?
You mean about this where you like what's the term he uses?
Body slam.
Body slams. Okay. Yes, we can play that. Okay. I do have a few thoughts on that as a man.
Sure.
Look, I'm not like any sort of way athletic. Like people have said I'm athletic when I was younger, just because my brother was. He was an All-American.
You were on the water polo team. I know that much.
I was also the goalie for the soccer team, which was a lot of fun. But I'm just trying to say, like, I'm not athletic, even though I'm sort of halfway. Like, I'm not somebody that you would say, oh, he's destined to be an athlete. But I'm also not like, you know, some nerd that never ran or something like that. So I've been in like heated situations. The body slamming thing was weird to me because I've played ultimate frisbee, you know, just like casual sporting things. I would never think to body slam someone. It definitely jumped out at me as something that was beyond the rules of engagement of a normal sporting event. Does that make sense?
Yes, it was uncalled for.
Like you wouldn't just like body slam someone. Now I have body slammed. I think I got into a fight when I was younger, and it required me to he was bigger than me or something. It required me to like use my body to get in under. That's a little different. Like, when you're smaller than the person that's coming at you, which is the case because Luke P is not the tallest, body slamming is the effective measure by which you could incapacitate the person that's coming at you. But that's not really what was happening.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. Luke P, which is blonde Luke, the one Hannah likes.
Uh-huh.
Said a lot of things, said all these things happened before the body slam, and said that Luke S, Nick Vial lookalike, is just there to promote his company and is short with him and all these things. So, but all we saw in the clip, all they showed us, because maybe it's all there is, or maybe that's all they're willing to show us, is that blonde Luke picked up smaller Luke by the waist and threw him on his back. That's what we saw.
Right.
I recorded it because I was like, dang, that's rough. You know, I don't know how much.
Let's play the clip.
Never been body slammed. Okay. So this is Luke defending himself. Hold on. Let's see if it makes sense.
What I love, remember in high school when there'd be a fight? It was like the greatest thing ever. There'd be I don't know if your school had a quad. We had a quad. That seemed like a common thing.
And everyone would be like, fight.
Yeah, fight. And then there'd be this, I guess you call it under pressure, where everyone would be racing to where the fight is. So the air pressure would drop and be like, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yes, but take note that all the young men were running there. All the girls were kind of standing
up.
But it was used,
at least in my school, which was like a nondescript high school in Santa Clara, California. It was the women that it was the girls that were fighting with each other, not the men.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Well, it'd be like this girl fight, and everyone would run to the middle and be over. But
it would be over by the time you got there.
You were never in a girl fight when you were, you know, I don't know, 15.
Never at school, but I have been in fights. But I would never have fought at school. Okay.
I got suspended for fighting.
Dang, Craig. And now you're in academia.
I know. It was the weirdest thing. It was like right when they had like decided that when you get suspended, you don't just go home.
Mm-hmm. You come back to school and write.
I had to go to some other campus.
Oh.
And sit in a room. Yeah, it was for like 3 or 4 days. I just sat in this room.
That's called student jail.
Yeah, that was crazy. Okay. And
wait. That happens to Luke, and then he defends himself 3 times and tells. I don't think they're 3 different stories. I don't think they're conflicting. He could be telling the truth. Here's an example of where he actually could be telling the truth. And I don't really doubt that he's telling the truth because he's telling the same story 3 times. So let's listen to it. Let's see if it makes sense. I cut them all together.
Okay.
Three stories.
Can we talk about this like Mars planetary space outfit that Hannah's wearing?
We can. Okay.
We'll do a fashion roundup after you play the clip. Okay.
Yes.
Luke S and I had an encounter on the field. I had the ball. I stepped on him to the ground, but you know, he started like cussing me out and like clenched his fists and started coming at me and started to swing at me, like to hit me in the face. And I didn't know what to do. And I like picked him up and you know, I put him on his back. I don't remember how it happened, to be completely honest with you. I think I had the ball. I'm pretty sure I stiff-armed him while he was on the ground. He's cussing me, and he's coming up to me with clenched fists, and he is marching towards me. I felt like I needed to defend myself.
I was not going to punch you in the face, Luke. You need my partner in the face while he was down. You can't even do that in your seat.
But wasn't the ball?
No,
on his back right here, and I'm straddling him. I have my eyes over at the game, and I step over him. It was a piece of like my shin that caught his shoulder and maybe part of his ear.
Now, did all 3 of those things match up?
Yeah,
maybe. I don't know. Look, I'm just trying to see if we can get to the bottom of this.
I mean, who cares?
All right, really, if we don't, then we don't. Well, you know what? I kind of care because what's wrong with Luke is that I can, you know, we've talked about before how we think he's kind of a liar, right? He definitely lied about almost falling in love with Hannah. But what if he's telling the truth this one time? This is why this works against. What if he is telling the truth this one time? I want to make clear here that I do not play devil's advocate. I hate that. I don't think it's right to, but I really do kind of believe that he could be because he's kind of, you know, he's thrown for a loop here. I think his lying might be his MO, but then when he's telling the truth, he really has no idea what to do.
Oh my God. That's funny.
It's rough.
Easier. Like that is one of the funnier things you've ever said.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's funny, but it's also kind of, you know, unfair. I understand that with a lie comes a person and comes a bunch of complicated things that they do. But at the same time, you know, a lie is a lie and the truth is the truth. And we can hold those things away from that person.
Yeah.
So
a liar is telling the truth when they say, to be completely honest with you.
Did he say that?
Yeah. Well, he didn't just say to be honest with you, which is kind of a thing people fall back on. You say that from time to time. To be honest with you.
Oh.
But he said to be completely honest with you. You don't remember that? It was right in the middle.
Maybe. I believe you.
He said to be completely to be completely honest with you, he said in the middle, to be completely honest with you.
Dang, you know what? I hate that, Craig, because I hate when people say, not gonna lie.
Yeah.
To be completely honest with you.
No, I got that beaten out of me a long time ago. Someone said, look, people say it. I get it. It's just one of those things. But someone said, well, why don't say, to be honest with you, because it means that when you don't say that, you're not being honest.
Well, no. Apart from that, I don't like the new one, not going to lie, which basically means I'm being for real here.
Well, it means that they're lying when they're not saying it. Yeah.
No, I don't ascribe to that grammar, purity law, but I don't like that saying for some reason, because it makes me think that actually it sounds more like they're accusing you of lying most of the time than they're not going to lie.
Easier. I'm not going to lie
because like you have.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It bothers
look.
Me on many levels. Okay.
I'm not going to lie, to be honest.
Stop it.
we're watching our unofficial sponsor Hulu playback here. And we're in a room with a bunch of guys. And except for Luke P, they all look exactly the same. I literally have no idea who is who now. Is that Tyler C? Is that the other Luke? Fred.
I can tell you people's names only because I've thought of, I've had to think
about
them. But
who's, like, it's like they're all arguing over each other.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I don't know what's going on here. And at some point we had to talk about Mike, and, we, of course, you, with your meme, we have a very controversial and probably not popular opinion of Mike. He's the only real one that stands out as being like a non-douchebag.
He kind of seems, honestly, it's funny you say that, because I thought they were all kind of being, they're asking him for an explanation they don't want. If they're already branding him a liar, then brand him a liar.
Right,
listen to him.
Yeah, I've brought that up in arguments with like girlfriends and stuff. It's like, don't ask questions you don't want the answer to,
Yeah, it's kind of that, but it's also they're doing it to disrespect him. Like they're like, go ahead, tell your side. I can't believe you said that. And they get up and walk away from him. And they're all kind of following the lead of a few like little minions. Like, you know what? If you want to hear his side, sit there and hear his side. If you don't want to hear it, then you just don't ask for it. And have
so who are we looking at right now with the red jacket and a white
that is
shirt?
Garrett, the one that got the rose.
That's Garrett?
Yes.
Oh my God. Literally have no memory of the scene.
No, this is his first appearance. This is basically his first appearance on the show. So I want you to see this, Craig, because there's a scene where they kiss and then camera pans out and she pulls away from him, like, don't kiss me, which means he's a bachelor. The rose is so meaningless on this date because it's just to spice things up, basically, for us at home.
So they're making out right now. They're making out. And you're saying she's going to pull away, or is that not happened yet?
Yeah, no, it's going to happen. But, people aren't watching it with us on a playback. So
I get it. So they're in a room with gray walls.
Well, let's do the fashion report while you watch this. Ready?
Yeah, hit it.
This is the fashion roundup. Craig likes to talk about what people are wearing.
I like it more every time I hear it. Okay, look. Let's talk about her space ground control to Mr. Tom.
Major, but yeah.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Cool. Okay.
Yeah. yeah, it's a throwback back when space was cool. Space is not cool anymore. We also spent hundreds of billions of dollars into our free market in the 60s it was as much a shot to the moon as a economic stimulus, but it created a fashion trend, which was wearing these shiny silver outfits. I thought it looked good. It's not something she would ever have worn if she were not on a network reality TV show.
There's only one place to wear something like that, which is unfortunate. I wish it was
reality TV.
Kind of TV. Yeah, exactly. Late night.
It's funny you mention that because years ago, I I had started watching YouTube videos of Michael Jackson, right? So Michael Jackson, I could go on and on. I don't think he was a very great artist. He made a lot of bad decisions in his videos and whatnot. Like Macaulay Culkin at the beginning of... Yeah, it's just lots of really weird. But obviously he was a really good dancer, but it's not the kind of dancing you could just do on your own. Like if you showed up to a club and started doing Michael Jackson dances, people think you're like having a seizure or something, right? And I told my friend this. I was like, why can't I just like do these Michael Jackson moves? And he's like, because you're not on stage as Michael Jackson. It made perfect sense. Like there's only things you can do when you're in, you know, in the context of being on the stage. And I think what you just said, like her space outfit is only something you wear, you know, on reality TV or some, you know. You have to be like in a movie star type setting or to wear an outfit like that.
Right. Which is unfortunate, but then when you see things in real life, people wearing something like that, and you're like, that doesn't belong here. So it makes sense in its own way.
You know me. So you haven't seen this yet, but I have an actual on camera worn jumpsuit from the TV show Bones.
Okay. Yes. Right. I believe you.
If we ever do our going to Universal Studios, I will wear that because they have a Bones ride or Bones, whatever.
Yeah, stage show.
But see, you know me. I wear the same thing every day. It's like Urban Commando gear. You know, I just wear like. I feel like the Bones jumpsuit could fit into that. I could just wear it. And what are people going to say?
Craig, I will top that in that, and I don't want to keep topping these things, but I have a closet full of things I never wear because they look cool on the rack. But what do I wear every day? Black jeans and a black shirt, and that's my mom wear. Mainly because I think it's embarrassing to wear things that I like looking at. So fashion is a hard one for me because there's lots of things I like to see, but then I realize, oh, I don't have to own them. I can just have a picture of them. So, yeah. Anyways. Okay.
Well, fair enough. Well, if I show up to, you know, Mark and yours place wearing a Bones jumpsuit.
Do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's a little, obviously it's a little different for guys and girls, but
it is.
She looked really good. I feel like she started wearing too much makeup in this episode as a general trend.
I don't disagree.
And then her hair seems more crimped than. But you know, she's been on this journey for what, 3 or 4 weeks now, in actual time. So you can't wake up every day and look, you know, fresh, like you just got out of bed kind of look. Like she's going to look a little manufactured. And I would totally wear that space suit. I think it was awesome. If they made a man version of the man space suit, I would totally wear that.
I'm sure they do.
But okay. Her hair, like I'm just looking at her now. It's been crimped. Is that the right word? It's been crimped one too many times.
Oh, okay. It's fried. You're saying a little fried looking. Okay. Okay, Craig.
Okay. What?
This is going to be rough. So you don't have to comment much.
Okay. I'll put my microphone on mute.
Thank you. Okay.
Just like Jed. I'll be like Jed. I just won't say anything.
Right. Right now. Something is happening in Bachelor Nation that is such an interesting cultural phenomenon that happens a lot now. Happens a lot now more, but it's been happening since the 90s. So it's not like it's a new thing. It's just a new mainstream thing, let's say.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
What is it?
White fans of Bachelor Nation think they're being anti-racist by signaling that they're being anti-racist. by wanting Mike for The Bachelor. Now,
oh yeah, that immediately came to mind when we started to get some pushback on your Mike bailed on his second trimester girlfriend miscarriage meme.
Right. Now, as far as anyone studied racism and anti-racist history, this historians will tell you that wanting something like this is completely worthless. And it works against what's real in society and how racism actually works and how racism actually
wanting something like what?
Wanting Mike to be The Bachelor.
I'm totally 100% with you on this. It went from okay, Mike is just some neutral character, to you posting the meme about him bailing on his miscarriage girlfriend. And there were some comments about, like, oh, he might have been in the military. It's like, oh, is that an excuse? To suddenly, there's literally Photoshopped images of him being The Bachelor, which I just don't get at all.
This is what I'm going to get into, basically. So, like you're saying, you know, he used a story that first off isn't really his to tell. It sounds like it's more like his girlfriend's to tell, because like someone else said, no woman who had a miscarriage and wanted the baby would have immediately started making out. So he's definitely using that story about him having a miscarriage.
Yeah, the making out to me is like the critical piece.
Right, like, right.
You're on the show, you should make out, but still, I would never make out with somebody immediately after telling them that my ex-girlfriend had a miscarriage.
Right. So, okay. The setup is here that Bachelor producers haven't had a Black Bachelor, apparently for ratings reasons. And so in the, you know, Bachelor Nation's eyes, let's say, having a Black Bachelor, wanting a Black Bachelor, is them being anti-racist. Now, that seems like it makes logical sense, but it doesn't make any sense. Because, like, someone like, Kendi. Do you know who ex-Kendi is? He actually runs, like, he's starting an anti-racist kind of a workshop study in Washington, D.C. He has a really great book out. He's basically a historian of racism. And, you know, he directly says that exemplary Black people will not deliver America from racism. Racist ideas grew out of discriminatory policies, not, you know, the one beacon. So it doesn't, that's not how things actually work. And it bothers me that all these Bachelor Nation people are thinking they are so being, wow, look at me. I am wanting a Black Bachelor. Therefore, I am signaling so much about my good character. So this is kind of where Bika comes into me. Where Bika comes into the story.
No, I totally. I mean, as a white male, I'm constantly having to check myself about that. I'm not trying to say I'm, you know, some great person for being aware of this thing. But absolutely, it's like, oh, we need a Black Bachelor. Oh, well, it's not really my place to even say that. And what would it even mean to have a Black Bachelor? Right.
And you're Chris still working you're still working within the confines of the Bachelor world. So that's not the issue.
Exactly.
And so, okay, let me just, I will, you can say everything you want after I'm done with this, I want to make sure I get this out. Okay. So here's where Bika comes into me. Now, Craig, you know me in real life. I'm a pretty dark skinned person. I mean, I'm dark skinned person. I've even had, you know, I think someone made a great comment once where I was making food and someone didn't want it. And then another friend of mine said, it's because your hands are darker. And it was so, to me, that's like, that is it. That is racism. Like that's what it actually is. But it's an interesting, racism is deep and dark and it's hard to unfold. But I'm just saying this. I'm not trying to say, look at me, I'm dark, therefore I can say this. No, I'm saying this because I want us to get at the deeper issue. Okay. Mm-hmm. So Bika, right? Bika is Hispanic, but she's white presenting. And she's one of these leaders of Mike being the bachelor in general. But to me, so I want to make sure this is nuanced. Like, this is not a, this is a nuanced opinion. This is not a yes or no. But essentially, if I'm being so racial, you know, Bika should be on my side because she's Hispanic like me and blah, blah, blah. But Bika promotes this kind of irresponsible political immaturity that really bugs me, because she's the beacon for this righteous movement that's kind of this cartoon version of civil rights. And that's why civil rights in general cannot be taken seriously. And I'll give you a counterpoint, you know, like Lee, remember Lee from Rachel's season? Mm-hmm. He's a great example of how racism actually works. Now, there's something to work with in terms, like, not a redemption story, but in terms of what racism actually looks like. And he can be on the show. He can kiss Rachel. That doesn't mean he's not racist. So I think it's a great, that's a great story to tell in terms of, like, how can The Bachelor address racism? There it is. He's not a redeemable character at all. But at least that's a story to tell. Whereas the Mike thing is all raw, raw. Like, let's make sure he's the Bachelor for X reasons. Right. So let's dig our grave a little deeper here about media studies and how to dissect media. Mm-hmm. I do think people are scared to go up against the big Bachelor Nation club. That's kind of a high school mentality. Everyone wants to make memes that everyone likes. No one likes making a meme posting a tweet.
Yeah, well, you spend time on making a meme and you post it and you get no likes. It's the problem with the culture in general.
Right. And that kind of compulsive need bleeds over into podcasts, and that's why everyone doesn't want to critically think about what's really going on here. Here we are, Bachelor producers are definitely setting Mike to be the Bachelor, right? Mm. Early on, which is really not fair, because how can you give someone such a head start on The Bachelor? When we were watching Colton season, who knew that Hannah would be the Bachelorette? So, and women do tend to get treated fairer, more fair on Bachelor shows. Mm-hmm. And no one, for example, no one wanted Colton as the Bachelor, but he got it anyway. Anyway, ultimately, my point is that, hold on.
Okay, what's your point, Easier?
Okay. So anyways, so to defend Bachelor Nation, just the tiniest sliver, they're used to people criticizing the show for X amount of reasons, because of the Kelly Ripa reasons, because of race reasons.
Kelly Ripa, right.
Yeah. Right. So I think people try to compensate that by being extra friendly to the show and by proving that they're not racist. And I think we can watch the show and, like we're saying, you know, be 50-50 on it. So it just, the whole grandstanding around it right now with regards to Mike should bother Mike too, honestly, because people are using him to prove something about themselves, just like Bika, whatever. I'm very, very frustrated with how this is turning out, as opposed to how it, you know, there's any number of darker skinned men on this show that could make a better Bachelor than Mike. And by the way, Mike has no intention of being with Hannah. I'm sure he's been promised the Bachelor. He's not looking for a relationship, and I'm going to Ari him right now. I don't think if he is the Bachelor, I don't think he's going to end up with the person he picks. And I don't think he's going to do what Ari did. Yeah. But I mean, I don't think he's in it. He's in it to promote himself.
You're bringing up a zillion really important issues that are at the core of everything that we're watching and talking about. Yeah. I mean, Mike is black is not reason enough to make him the Bachelor, which is racism in itself. There's a zillion men who are black that would make great black bachelors. I mean, it's just so uber, super duper complicated. And unfortunately, The Bachelor hasn't been a show that's taken that on head first. They've always played it safe in regards to the network, right? You know, having white men be The Bachelor and then having white women be The Bachelorette, which was itself controversial. But, you know, as we learned with Obama, things sometimes take time, unfortunately. It is a highly rated show, so they've obviously done something right to keep the retention of their viewers, just like Obama had to, like, be the president for a while and before he could even address things like race. And now he's still accused of not addressing race or something like that. I mean, we live in a country that's so racist that it can't even talk about it. It's just so baffling on so many levels.
But we don't want to.
Well, we're going to throw Mike up to be The Bachelor. It would be so awful, but there's conversations to be had about both sides. It's awful because X, it's good because Y, right? I mean, it's just like, how do we even approach that? Because we're so deep in this just stupid, complicated history that's been mediated. Where do we even begin?
I'm glad you kind of said, I don't know if you're leading into this, but they reminded me of the fact that, you know, I'm not saying that Mike shouldn't be The Bachelor because he's not perfect. Right. Because Colton wasn't perfect and he was allowed to be The Bachelor.
Right.
I'm saying that they're making him out to be a perfect person, which is the whole exemplary black person argument, that you can't have that. And, you know, racism can be very simple in America. It all has to do with money. So if you want something cheap, it's all an economic argument. But the way you throw it out to people is to use racist arguments. Mm-hmm. And that's the same thing as The Bachelor does. So if he's going to be part of that system, then he should address those things. And I think Rachel was a great bachelorette because she was actually interested in Nick.
Mm.
And it made you think that she was going to do it and that she was going to do it well. And that's the only criteria we have for being on The Bachelor, right? I mean, I know people say
you want to promote yourself. Love.
Right. I don't think he does. So if we're going to, you know, really condense it down to bare bones why you should be on The Bachelor, it shouldn't be because you're black and you have to be the first one and this or that. It should be for that one reason, because you can do it well. Mm. I thought Colton could do it well despite all his flaws. He had a lot of things wrong with him. Look how he screwed over Tio, right? I guess in our eyes. But he did do it well. We thought Ari wasn't going to, and that's why he wasn't a popular bachelor pick. Nick, we thought the same thing, and he wasn't. So anyway, it is complicated, but it's also easy to dissect. It's just, it hurts to dissect it because you don't want to go there, but you should.
Right.
Okay. That's what
I don't have, and also it's not really my place to even have anything to retort with. Like, everything you say is making a ton of sense.
Okay, let's move on to Tyler C.
I mean, it's interesting that this is all happening while they're in Rhode Island as opposed to Alabama or even California. You know, as we said really early on in the podcast, Rhode Island has a really complex history with slavery, which is the root of everything. I mean,
economic system, right? The economic need for slavery.
Yeah.
It's inhumane, of course, but.
Well, Well, I lived in Maine. It's something I wanted to talk about. I'm not sure if we're going to get to it. But Maine was created as part of the Missouri Compromise. It was Congress splitting up states into other states in order to keep the same number of slave states as there was the non-slave states. I mean, it's just embedded in absolutely everything. And, I'm going off on a tangent here, but you know how, like, if you read, like, Islamic texts, they generally start off with, you know, in praise of God. That's like the first, every sentence starts with that. Like, in praise of God, comma, yada, yada, yada. In America, we really need to be starting every sentence with, you know, we enslaved an entire continent, comma, yada, yada, yada.
Right.
Because it's so embedded in absolutely everything. And this whole notion that it isn't, you know, and the baby boomers trying to, like, revolt against the millennials because they think that the millennials are, like, it's like the millennials are aware of the fact that people have been, you know, generationally enshrined into categories, and it's awful. And they actually want to implement the American dream of everyone having a chance of succeeding. And it's just so complicated. And that's all I have to say.
Okay. Well, that's interesting you said that, because Mike called Luke a millennial something, F word, maybe millennial S word. I don't know. And it was really odd, because it's like, if he's 31, I'm a millennial and I'm 33 or something. Like, I don't know how old I am. I always forget. I think I'm 33 or 34. I forget. okay.
Yeah.
Now, who knows? Craig,
I mean, I don't even know what to think. God bless your daughter, the world she's entering into.
I don't know if that's... Yeah, no, I had that issue too when I knew it was going to be a girl. I'm like, what a world it is for women. Other than everything else we've talked about.
Yeah, okay. Women and men.
I mean, I guess. Like, holy shit. What a world it is, period. But... maybe everyone thought that when they had a kid, you know, the 80s were bad in their own way.
Oh, well, when I was younger, when I was in high school, I worked at a place called the Tech Museum of Innovation. Does that ring a bell?
No.
It's in San Jose, California. Mm-hmm. And my boss, I worked in exhibit fabrication. Like, we made the exhibits out of materials. We had like a wood shop and whatnot. He was against having kids. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking about this the other day. It's like, he would say, like, oh yeah, I'm not having kids because the world's so too fucked up. I don't want to bring a kid into this world. And I'm like, holy shit, that's pretty heavy if you think about it. That's pretty heavy for like a 14, 15 year old kid to hear their mentor saying that the world's too fucked up to bring a kid into.
I've heard that sentiment my whole life. I feel I've never not heard that.
Like, I'm trying to think about, like, you know, with my, like, therapist or whatever. Is that something that warped me? Did I get fractured because my mentor told me that he doesn't want to have kids because the world's too effed up? I mean, that's heavy, man.
Yeah. Look, okay, Craig, now you don't have to do this, but if you wanted to, you could cut this conversation and put it in the beginning, because I feel like it's super exemplary of who we are. We're at 1:14 and we started at 53, so it was a 20-minute conversation, but it's up to you.
Yeah, maybe.
But anyways, do you want to move up to Tyler C? Just because we do like to tangent in the beginning too.
Well, so there's things happening on the show right now that we should probably talk about. Directly, there was no rose ceremony.
Okay. What about Tyler C., the football guy?
I don't even
know
who Tyler C. is.
Hannah was crying because she... Okay. So, let me talk us back here to where we were, because this was interesting. This is a good example of a villain making it forward, not because she doesn't understand, but because she really does like him and doesn't understand. Like,
Tyler C.
No. Luke. So in the beginning of... Okay.
We're jumping around. Like, to me, Luke, the other Luke, and Tyler C. are all the same person.
Okay.
So in moving forward, I think you need to, like, preface...
Sure. Let me start all over.
Like, the guy who was wearing the orange jacket or something.
Oh, okay. Blonde Luke with a beard.
Okay. Okay. All right.
Okay.
Okay. I'm better now. All right. Go on.
I'm going to say it again. Don't laugh now, because I'm telling the truth. Blonde Luke with a beard kind of threw Hannah off because he is saying that, you know, everyone else is a liar and he's not, basically. And everyone's saying, no, Luke's a liar, but she really likes Luke. So here's a good example of a villain making it forward because she really does like him. Unlike other times where we sit here and criticize and say, how could this villain keep moving forward if she doesn't even like him? Obviously, it's a producer pick, right? So in this case, she gets up for her date with Tyler C., who's the football player whose head goes right into his neck, other way around, neck goes right into his head.
Is he the guy?
Dancer, contractor from Jupiter, Florida.
Yes, yeah. Okay. I just have no idea.
And they go like on a sailing date where they catch poor little lobsters and then eat them alive, it seems like.
Oh, right.
Because I didn't see any boiling.
I was supposed to talk
happening
about that, but
okay. I'll let you talk about it. I just want to say really quickly that Tyler C has a clueless dad look, and he kind of reminds me of blonde Luke actually, except that he's not trying at all. He's just kind of, he has this really, now did Tyler, I know you're not registering him much, but did he have a really obnoxious voice to you? I know that's mostly said about women, but isn't that interesting that he had kind of an obnoxious voice? Okay, forget that. Never mind. Don't worry about it. Just listen for him next time. Okay, now here's where the thing gets weird. I think Tyler tried to get her to get over the Luke thing and to stop crying by saying all these ridiculous cliches, like, you know, buck up, partner. We got this. We're going to slay this day, or whatever he said. It was just so whatever, you know, just blah things. And it made me think again, what we had said in the beginning, that maybe she likes people that say they like her. Maybe she just thinks he's, you know, he's cute enough and he says he likes me. Good. I like him now. Okay. Here's why Tyler C would make sense if he wins, though. He says he likes her. He's a football player. He's a man's man. He talks a little out of turn like she does. He's very traditional. He's emotionally absent. He is...
Wow. Do you have anything else to say about him?
He will be in a recliner watching football and drinking beer all day is probably what she wants from a man. I don't know. Like, doesn't it seem like he's so just you're
oh my god, you're killing me,
man.
Just hiccup. Oh my god, it's too funny.
Well, and that's where we are.
Oh god, oh boy.
I mean, come on, you saw the Tyler C date. There was nothing.
Yeah, no. Boring. I was watching the same show.
Yeah, he's just blah. I don't know. People love him now. So
is this Tyler C that we're watching right now?
Well, now we're on to the rose ceremony. So
no, I'm.
Oh, you're back there. He's the lobster date again.
This guy right here.
I think we're on different times in the playback.
No, I'm... How can we be at different times?
I'm seeing Luke, and she's talking to Luke.
Well, there must be Luke. I have no idea. All right, look. I think I'm done. I don't know.
Okay.
I can't give this any more energy.
Okay.
Oh, my God.
Well, that's all I really got.
There and I have the hiccups. I can't, like, shake these hiccups suddenly. Mm. Like, if we were on Reddit, our podcasts, they'd be like, how to not hiccup during your podcast.
Okay. So, okay, well, let's just say bye then. She was not being a very good detective, finding out who was telling the truth, which means that the Bachelor is kind of, the Bachelor producers are manipulating things so that she doesn't find out, or that she acts stupid because she wants there to be that, they want there to be that conflict. And it's lazy on the Bachelor's part, because this is not hard to figure out, right?
Yeah.
Everyone hates him. She likes him. It's that, you know,
the whole thing is classic. Weird. Well, maybe next episode we'll talk about New England and Maine and all those things. I think we
we talk about the lobsters.
No, we'll talk about it next time.
Okay.
I don't know. I feel like we're done.
Okay.
Somehow we managed to eke out an hour from what we were given, so I feel like we've accomplished a lot.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. Any DMs or anything?
Yes. We'll talk about it later.
Oh, not good, huh?
Cut this out. No, it's not bad. I just don't want to say it on the air or whatever. Not the air. Yeah.
All right.
Yeah. But look. Okay. I guess we will see what happens.
Yeah. Bye. I hope we get a better episode. Please. Below Decks back on the air on Bravo.
Yeah, you were saying.
I know. That's my true love. It is.
I know. Well, I thought it was Vanderpump, but it's moved over to Below Deck.
Well, Vanderpump's kind of like your first love.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I get
and
that.
And Below Deck's like your true love. It's like the one you really want.
Right.
And then
right,
Bachelorette, right. Bachelor. That's like your, the one you're with for a long time.
Yeah. Yeah. I have that with Hello Kitty. I like Hello Kitty was my first. And then I moved on to Rila Kuma as my true love. But then always, there'll always be like, you know, any little mishmashy thing on the side that I'm like, you know what? I'll just stick with my knockoff 99-cent store.
All right, EZR. That was fun.
Okay. Okay, bye.
We'll see you next time.